I'm delighted to welcome my next guest in. You probably heard her last year on with the morning show, but since we've spoken to Alana Kirk, who's known as the Midlife Coach, she's a motivational speaker, author and freelance writer. Alana, you're so welcome to the morning show.
Thanks so much for having me back.
So the last time you were here, you were promoting your book and it has been a runaway success. But some of our listeners may have caught you on TV because it was one of those interviews on television that a lot of people have been talking about. If anybody listens or watches the Tommy Tiernan show, you will know that Tommy's guests go on and Tommy doesn't know who they are. And yours was quite a memorable one and Tommy kind of wasn't sure who you were. But it was one of those conversations that really captured the hearts of a lot of men and women. So I'm going to let you tell the listeners, if they're not familiar with you, your own story and just your experience being on the Tommy Tiernan show, because that must have been quite daunting for you.
Thanks. It was absolutely terrifying. And I've done a fair bit of radio and TV, but A, it was Tommy, and I'm not afraid to admit I have a slight crush on Tommy Tiernan, who doesn't? But also because he could go anywhere. And he doesn't know me. So, you know, I can go into radio and hold up my book and talk for 6 minutes about, you know, women redefining midlife. But to have to go on and explain who I was and for him to figure out where to go with that was daunting. But he was amazing because he's a very curious person. And so we talked about a lot of stuff. A lot of it wasn't shown, obviously. But so I went on to talk about my midlife story, because in many ways it is very normal and in other ways it obviously is unique to me. And, you know, like a lot of people, I spent my 20s and 30s ticking the boxes, doing all the things we're expected to do. I talk about in the book, Midlife Redefined, you know, we spend the early part of our lives asking the question, what do we want our lives to look like? And I can see my three daughters starting that phase already, you know, we're going to get this. And I ticked all those boxes, got the career, went to college, did traveling, and then got the partner, the house and the pregnancy test, all in the space of 9 months as it was for me. And as I say in my book, you know, we spend the first part of our life looking at what we want our lives to look like. But actually, often at midlife, especially for women who can spend a huge amount of time ending up with their head barrel down in survival mode, you start to ask a better question. What do I want my life to feel like? But I was still in the head barrel down survival mode. I got married, got pregnant very quickly, literally the next month. And I spent the next 5 years in that baby family forming frenzy. I had 7 pregnancies, 3 babies at the end of that. And I mean, yes, we had the odd great dinner party and holiday too, but it was a really frenetic time. And I remember the day my third baby was born, Ruby, and I knew she was my last. And I knew that 5 years of frenetic hormonal haphazardness was at an end. And yes, I still had to rear them, but that period of me not really having control, I think my first miscarriage was that first moment in my life where I realised I didn't have control. I'd spent my 20s and 30s building my career, being very clear who I was and what I wanted. And suddenly for life to tell me that I couldn't always have what I wanted was a challenge. But anyway, that day was great. My mum had been there at the birth and it was a really exciting time. And that feeling lasted for about 4 days, and then my mum had a stroke. She had read my other two daughters a bedtime story and come out. And she was rendered immediately completely brain damaged, paralysed, incontinent, and would need 24-hour care for the next 5 years. So I went from 1 5 years to another 5 years. And in that 10 years of parent care, child care, trying to resuscitate a career, trying to figure out, I didn't even try to figure out who I was in that space. And coming to the end of that period before my mum died, my marriage ended. And my husband came out as gay. And that in itself, you know, Tommy did go somewhere there on the show, which wasn't, you know, Tommy is Tommy. But, you know, regardless of why a marriage ends, dismantling a family is a devastating experience for anyone. And I work with a lot of women in that space, whether they're the ones to end the marriage or the marriage has been ended for them. And so I remember looking at the mirror, it was about 2 weeks before my 45th birthday, and the marriage was over and my mum was at that point dying, and we were fighting for her to die at home. And I looked in the mirror, and it wasn't the fact that I had just lost was losing the two structures of my life, the family I'd come from and the family I'd formed. I didn't recognise who was looking back in the mirror. I'd had my head barreled down in survival mode for so long. And the book and my story and the you know, where I mean, I had worked for a long time in the nonprofit sector. I was a writer and a communicator. And, you know, every platform that I had built my life on, being a daughter, being a wife, working in the nonprofit sector, was gone. And I had to start again and pick myself up off the floor.
And it was so palpable to feel that on the television. I think that's why there was such a swell of a response on social media and with other people. But I suppose the honesty in how you share your story of rebuilding yourself again and rebuilding yourself, if I dare say, better. Now, we don't want to...
Oh, 100%. I turned 52 there very recently, and I have this... And part of it, just to let listeners know, I ended up going back to college, studying psychology, becoming a coach, and I work in this space now. For lots of reasons. One, because we are a unique generation of women who have an opportunity that no, in the history of humankind, have not had. We have an extra 20, 30 years of life experience to be lived in midlife, not old age, we're younger for longer. We have these unprecedented opportunities and freedoms. And, you know, women for the first time in history are living a third to half our lives postmenopausal. All through history, 2,000 years, women's main value in society, I'm not saying this is real, but in society has been that sort of nurturing mother role. And now women don't have to have children, or they can have children and be something other than all of those roles they play for really the first time. And when I look at my mum and my mum's generation, you know, once you'd kind of fulfilled that role, you were desexualized, devalued, fecked into the corner to knit. And, you know, and I know that hurt my mum, because my mum was a lovely glamorous. She was doing water aerobics up until the week that she had her stroke. And whereas now we're different, and I work with so many women who are, there's this surge of women in their 50s and early 60s who are going, hang on, this is my time. I've put a lot of work in here. Not that they haven't enjoyed raising a family or building a career, but they're actually now wanting something more, and they've got the chance to. It took time to build myself up, but I do think that's an important part, that women now get to redefine so many parts of their lives. And my children will never forgive me for what I said on the Tommy Tiernan show. My daughter was in the front row. But women do get to redefine what a post-marriage relationship looks like. And I had said, you know, I want to take a man's shirt off, not iron it. I won't be forgiven for that. But or you redefine what a marriage looks like. And a lot of the coaching I do is with a woman saying, okay, just you've got to be intentional. You've got to be curious about your life. Where are you? How are you at this age, at this stage? But often, like I had for that 10 years, you're just in survival mode. You're just head barrel down. So, I mean, I literally did a workshop last night and about spring clean your midlife. But it is that idea of just stop. It doesn't matter whether you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s. Stop. Where are you? How are you? Who are you?
Who are you? Such a good question. And you know what I love about you, Alana? Because I remember when you were writing this book, I don't remember if you remember your research, but you did quite an exhaustive amount of research for this book. So there's no avenue in midlife you left unwalked, on a path that you didn't walk down. And I think that gives you real context when you're talking to people, because nothing shocks you and nothing surprises you. And there's so many different things that you tried out yourself. They didn't work. Some of them worked. No. Do you remember that period where you were kind of trying it all?
I actually went to Buenos Aires for 2 weeks and learned how to tango. That was one of my options. I did try everything. And I think because I was on this, what I love when a woman comes to me and she says, I feel really stuck. And that, or I'm lost. And it's usually stuck, lost, or crossroads. The crossroads tends to be slightly more uplifting because they've reached maybe an end of a phase. So maybe their children have left home or leaving home. Maybe they've stopped the career they want and they want to do something different. Maybe they've come out of a marriage, whatever it might be. But the stuck and the lost piece, they feel really in a rut. And they've maybe lost all sense of connection to themselves for a long time. And they don't know what's next. And I say to them, this is brilliant. And they go, what? It's horrible. And I said, yeah, but discomfort is not, you know, the goal in life is not 100% happiness. The goal in life is to be able to survive a wide range of emotions and experiences, staying connected to yourself. That's the goal. So discomfort is okay. The reason that you don't have the answer yet is because you haven't taken the time to explore it. Not knowing the answer is not the problem. You're stuck, so great. Now let's take some time, figure out who you are, where you are. So I say it in my book, you know, stop asking the question, what do you want your life to look like? And start asking, what do you want your life to feel like? And I was listening yesterday to a podcast with Cheryl Strayed, and she said it beautifully as well, just slightly differently. She said, you spend your 20s asking, who am I? And, you know, what career do I want? What do I want to do? And then you get to ask a better question at midlife. Who am I really?
And who are you really? There's somebody driving their car right now, I can guarantee you, around Wicklow, arrested, going, who am I really? And if you're listening in and something is resonating and you're thinking, I meant to hear this conversation today, what is your advice? Because something changed for you. Obviously, a lot of different things in life unfolded, so there was no other option than change. But where do you begin that change? Where do you begin embracing that midlife?
So I talk about, when I do my talks and things, I talk about the three superpowers of midlife: curiosity, intention, and an attitude of gratitude. And the curiosity piece is about you. Not about all of the, women in particular spend a huge amount of their time reacting to all of the external demands. Whereas what the work that I do with coaching is to help women be driven by internal needs and desires.
I have to say, I'd love to chat to you all day, but we are up against the time. But I'm sure people want to find out more. You have a great website and you do coach. You might tell us the name of the website, and the book is available as well, of course.
So the website is themidlifecoach.org. The book is called Midlife Redefined: Better, Bolder, Brighter. It's a self-guided book, so you get to do lots of exercises yourself. So you end up with your own midlife woe manual, as I like to call it. And I'm on Instagram as Midlife Coach. And get in touch. There's lots of ways that you can invest in yourself by giving time and curiosity and intention and making you matter more in your own midlife.
Making you matter more. I love that, Alana Kirk. Always a pleasure.